ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Just one day after Jack McLennan's relationship fell apart, he vanished.
I couldn't believe this was happening.
Immediately, accusations started flying.
You need to cough up and you need to confess.
But it soon became clear there was so much more to the story.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
You know where my son is.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
The New South Wales Police Force was so corrupt in the 1990s, it sparked a royal commission and was forced to clean up its act. But today, it's the most complained about force in the country, and it's the national leader in legal payouts, costing tens of millions of dollars. Today, Four Corners reporter Dylan Welch on his investigation into cases of police abuse and misconduct. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dylan, last financial year, the New South Wales Police Force paid out $40 million in legal payouts and court costs. $40 million, that is a lot.
Yes, well, in fact, it makes the New South Wales Police now the national leader in legal payouts. That same year, there were 478 civil suits filed against the New South Wales state relating to New South Wales police misconduct. That's equivalent to two cases every working day of the year. And it's also become, over the last decade, the most complained about police agency. There's been about a 70% rise, by the way, in complaints over the last 5 years. Over the 5 years to 2024, there were about 1,000 findings of misconduct per year, but only about 2% of those cases led to charges against an officer.
Really stark, these figures. And Dylan, for your Four Corners investigation, you've been having a really good look into some really very concerning cases, right?
Yeah, we've examined hundreds of cases of alleged police misconduct, but these are only the ones that are on the public record. I mean, there's many more. Most complaints don't become public because they never make it past this internal police investigation system. This is police investigating police. Often, it's the situation where you would have a senior police officer in a police station investigating a more junior police officer in the same station, which raises a whole bunch of issues around how they can really be objective.
All right, well, let's come back to the matter of investigations and how that unfolds in a moment. But Dylan, this alleged police misconduct, it's sometimes caught on police body cam vision and on CCTV.
Body worn video cameras recording our conversation, your action. And what's happening?
Nothing, bro.
Doesn't seem like nothing. What were you doing just then? You had your shirt off, carrying in the middle of the road?
And what we're listening to there is the start of a confrontation between a New South Wales police officer when he first confronts Brad Kelson in Sydney in 2021. Just tell me what's unfolding.
Yeah, so Brad Kelson is a guy from Casino up north in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. He was living down in Sydney at the time in 2021 with his partner. They'd been out for the day. They'd had a few drinks. On their way back home, they were going to go to a pub and have dinner. They refused entry. Now, as they left, there were people in the street who said they saw Brad push his partner and she fell over. Police were called. You know, we end up with a very large number of police turning up. But it then became unclear if Brad was the person, at the very least, if police had any evidence, if any of these witnesses were going to provide any evidence.
How many coppers? Two, four, six, eight, nearly 10 coppers work for me.
All for you.
You got to be joking me.
All right. And at this point, Brad Kelson and his partner, They're really quite confused about why they're being stopped by police.
Yeah, and look, we do need to note here, like a lot of the people in this story, Brad's no angel. You know, he's been in and out of custody since his teens, sometimes for crimes of violence. Years after this incident, he is convicted of assaulting his partner. But that moment, that night, he is unlawfully arrested because they have no evidence that he is the person who committed that crime. Mm. And from that point, from that unlawful arrest, there is a cascade of police errors. There's body cam vision by an officer called leading senior constable Mark Davis. This video shows how he escalates the situation when, you know, obviously, generally, police should be doing the opposite thing.
Hey!
Don't be a smart ass and stand in front of me.
You'll be in trouble.
Don't you tell me. Get him in handcuffs now.
So it's at this point that things get really out of hand. Brad's face is slammed into a metal bench. He's thrown into the back of the police truck. Once they get him back to Blacktown Police Station, that's where it gets really bad. Mm. Mark Davis grabs him by the neck, throws him onto the cells, metal bench, and then this struggle ensues because Brad does not want to go into that cell. At one point, he's on the ground. There must be three or four police kind of trying to pull him and push him into there. Davis comes up from the side, and while Brad is held on the ground, pinned down, he knees him five times, very hard.
Gosh. All right. And Dylan, Brad, he did end up in intensive care. He was seriously injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, very seriously. A district court judge would later describe what happened as a brutal assault.
Wow.
He ended up with 10 to 12 broken ribs, a punctured lung. He was in intensive care for 4 days.
Yeah, wow. And the charges against him, they were thrown out of court, the charges against Brad, but tell me what happened to the police officers involved.
Yeah, well, so what we do know is that within days of that assault, there was actually a probationary constable, so a guy who'd only been on the streets for, I think, about 6 weeks at that point. He complained. An internal investigation was triggered. The police watchdog called the LEC, the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission, monitored that investigation. That investigation found that police had done nothing wrong. But the magistrate later found that there had been collusion, that at least two officers had copied each other's statements. Essentially, you know, they're trying to put on the best version of events for them to make it look like Brad had resisted police, Brad had assaulted police. Mm. But the magistrate caught them. The magistrate pointed out that their statements were identical in certain paragraphs. And in fact, in one paragraph, these two officers, one of which was Mark Davis, included an identical spelling mistake. And of course, in the end, the courts found it was an unlawful arrest and he ended up receiving compensation.
Well, Dylan, it's a terrible case, of course, and you have uncovered a number of others, and we can't go into all of them, but just tell me briefly about Jodie Nosh.
Yeah, a few years ago, there was some publicity about a woman who was naked in the middle of a psychotic episode.
The Body Worn video is recording, just to let
you
know that.
That's all right, it's good.
Telling you now that you'll be going to Nepean Hospital and you'll be sectioned under Section 27.
The ambulance is not going to come out and get me after what you just did to me. They can't take me. They can't take me. He can't physically take me.
They can.
And she was terribly assaulted by two young police officers in Sydney's West in Emu Plains. So we're naming her for the first time. And we've also obtained really shocking, I can't quite do it justice, body-worn vision of the assault. Over 15 minutes, there is just a sickening and brutal attack.
Put me out. You can't physically beat me. F*** off.
I need a taser.
Get the taser then.
Is there a long baton in the car?
Yeah, that'll settle it down.
Two officers, they empty both of their cans of OC spray, that's pepper spray, on her face repeatedly at close range. Even, I'm sad to say, they sprayed her on her genitals. They drag her along the street by her hair, along the bitumen, and that cuts up her back. And then they spray her back. They kick her in the head. They stomp on her. It's just an awful, awful incident. And sadly, 18 months after that, Jodie Knott died of cancer. So she's not around anymore, but we have spoken to her family.
Wow. Okay. And the two officers involved, they did plead guilty to common assault, didn't they? And they were sent to jail.
Yes. So Nathan Black and Timothy Trouch, they were given 3 years and 3.3 years in jail non-parole, respectively. Mm. Black told the court that a lack of training, a high pace of operations, and this toxic workplace culture were partly to blame for what happened, what they did that day. Now, obviously, I don't mean to diminish their personal responsibility, but we had certainly heard allegations from former police officers, current police officers, victims, lawyers, that in parts of the New South Wales police force, there is a culture of brutality, of violence, and unfortunately also of impunity.
Wow. All right. Well, Dylan, why don't we consider that more deeply, what's going on inside the New South Wales police force? Now, a police watchdog that you referred to before, that was actually introduced after the Wood Royal Commission into police corruption in New South Wales in the 1990s. Just remind me about that.
Yeah, well, the Wood Royal Commission, it was supposed to bring accountability, certainly changed a lot of things. But the concern that I've heard from experts is that some of that behaviour, unfortunately, has not gone away. We spoke to a criminologist, Vince Hurley, who spent nearly three decades in the New South Wales police force.
There are police in there now who have never experienced or lived for a Royal Commission. So they have no fear of the consequences, some of them, of their actions. They haven't lived through being scrutinised to the nth degree by the Royal Commission or the public about their behaviour.
All right. And Dylan, there is concern too, isn't there, about the use of these body cams by police?
Yeah. So the watchdog, the LEC, it spent the last 3 years calling for the force to make body-worn video use compulsory when police exercise their power. Now, the police have been slowly altering their body-worn procedures. Mm. They're doing it right now, in fact, but so far they haven't made it mandatory, and that stands in contrast to every other state in Australia except for WA. And what that means in New South Wales is it's up to the officer's discretion when they use it, and we've seen a lot of examples where the way they use it is concerning. I mean, even in the case of Jodie Knott, one of the officers, he mutes his body-worn camera repeatedly. The other officer either didn't turn his camera on or just didn't even have one. That, you know, so there are certainly some very worrying practices around body-worn in New South Wales. Mm.
Well, Dylan, as you say, the LEC, or the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission, which is the watchdog, of course, it's there to oversee police conduct. But the thing is, many cases don't end up there, do they?
No.
Because they don't get referred there by police.
Yeah. So while nominally the LEC does monitor every police internal investigation, the reality is the LEC, it only runs 70 investigations itself a year. Now, the head of the LEC, a former Supreme Court judge, Peter Johnson, he says to investigate every case, you'd need to have a much larger number of investigators. And he argues that this hybrid model, where a lot is done by the police internally and then the LEC comes in and does the larger matters or the systemic issues, is the best fit for New South Wales.
You would have to have an enormous budget to have a separate body that dealt with all complaints against police. So we have a type of hybrid model in a way, and I think that's reasonably effective in the circumstances.
But critics say that police investigating police is simply not best practice. And it's important to note that while the Commission can recommend changes, the police are under no obligation to implement them.
All right. Well, Dylan, tell me, what has the New South Wales Police Force had to say about your report?
Not much, really. They'd agreed to do an interview and then pulled out hours beforehand. They've told us officers in the Brad Kelson case, or an officer or officers in the Brad Kelson case, other cases as well, were found to have committed misconduct and were subject to, quote, managerial action. But they declined to say of what they were guilty. and what that managerial action was. I mean, such action can range from very serious things like demotion, suspension, etc., but all the way down to things like counselling and performance improvement measures, whatever that means.
All right. Well, Dylan, as we mentioned, there was a Royal Commission that was finalised in the late 1990s into the New South Wales Police Force. What do you think, after all the work you've done on this, does there need to be something more now?
What I would say, Peter Johnson, the head of the LEC, when I interviewed him, he did recall a remark by Justice Wood, the person who ran the Wood Royal Commission. And that remark was to the effect of, maybe every generation, police will need some form of big commission of inquiry to keep them on the straight and narrow. And obviously, I would note, we're a generation on right now.
Dylan Welch is a reporter with Four Corners. Watch his report tonight on ABC TV at 8:30 or on iView. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.